Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Chof Hei, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Kuf Chof Dalet Amud Beit. Kol HaKelim HaNitalim B'Shabbat, Shivrehem Nitalin. Forget about this Imahem. So if you have different Kelim that actually broke, now it doesn't say when they broke, that's not clear, but if they broke, if there's a type of kelim that can be carried on Shabbos, Mishum Mokza, then you'd be also allowed to move around the broken pieces, and as long as they're able to do something or other. So Shiosim Eimalachim, obviously if they've become completely useless, so then that would be considered to be Mokza. But if they're not completely useless, for instance, let's say you've got this big Areva that was originally used for making dough in, and now you got little pieces, but you could still use some of it to cover a barrel with or something, right? I mean, it's not similar to what it used to do, but it's useful. Or you have a broken glass bottle. Now you could use a piece of that glass, which is commonly done in those days, to use it to cover a little bit of perfume. You know, you have one of those stoppers. They use glass anyway on top. So that's also considered to be a kli. Reb Yehuda says, no, that's a completely different kli. I mean, it has to be able to do me'ein melachtan. It has to be able to do something like similar to what it used to do. So in other words, if it used to be a big mixing bowl, so now it would be okay to move if latzuk letochan mikpeh. Let's say you could make oatmeal in it. You could pour oatmeal into it. So oatmeal is sort of similar to dough, you know, it's nice and thick. It's the same kind of idea. Or let's say you have a broken piece of glass, which it's still usable to put some oil into. So then it's similar to the bottle from which it initially came. That doesn't lose its status of kli. Well, we'll see exactly what the machlokas is. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, what are we arguing about? We're arguing about if these things broke on Erev Shabbos. Okay, because then we have the question, what allows it to continue to have a shame kli? So one man yomer holds, it has to be the way it used to be on at least some vague level. But be'em alacha cheret lo, that's Rabbi Yudashita. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds, doesn't matter. As long as it does malacha, it's still good. But if it broke on Shabbos, then there's no problem, because since at the beginning of Shabbat it was Muchan Agabe Avihen, in other words, its original format of the Kli before it broke made it mutter to move as a Kli at the beginning of Shabbos. That's always what defines for us the status on Shabbos, and therefore it wouldn't change. Mosif Rav Zutroi, on the contrary. How do you explain the whole Mishnah in Beitza? Masikin bekelim, ve'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim. So you're allowed to use, let's say, a chair. You want to burn a chair in your fireplace? Go right ahead on Yontif. But you cannot burn broken pieces of a chair. So now let me ask you something. What are we talking about over there? I mean, if we're talking about that the chair was broken up before Yontif, what do you mean you can't use it to burn? On the contrary, it's just firewood now, right? So it's Eitzin B'Almaninu. So obviously we have to be talking about a case where the chair broke on Yontif, and nonetheless it says you can only use it in its initial format as a chair to throw into the fireplace, but you can't use its broken pieces to throw into the fireplace. It's the exact opposite of what you're saying. We're actually more makbid if it's this way, if it was initially a kli at the beginning of Shabbos and now it became not a kli. And why would that be? It's because of a whole different issue that you didn't think about. And that is the issue of nolad. Remember, forget about the issue of muktzah. As we saw before, those who hold the concept of muktzah, they also hold the concept of nolad. So it's all very nice to say, well, miprinat the muktzah, we define it by the beginning of Shabbos. Yeah, that's true, where there was no drastic change in making it into something entirely different. But once you make it into a totally different kind of kli, and now you want to say, okay, so I got a different kli. So before I had an areva, and now I have a pot cover. What are you talking about? An areva does not metamorphosize into a pot cover. So basically the pot cover is nolad. And therefore, it's usher not because of the question of muktzah. You're right about that, but it's usher because of nolad. So you have to look at it in the opposite direction. That's the machlokas. You're right. There's no way to argue with the Mishnah. Ela'i itmar achi itmar. We must have gotten Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel backwards. What Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said was the opposite. Machloket dafka where broke on Shabbos, where one man the armor holds. Nonetheless, it's considered to be muchan, and the other man the armor holds. No, it's nolad. But me erev Shabbos? Everybody is meida. Well, if it broke before, and this is what it was ready to use before, and it's not nolad, so if it was uchnu l'melacha miba od yom, so then it's perfectly okay. Now, just to sharpen our understanding of the various shitot that we have over here, we have the fortunate confluence of three brightot, each of which says something different about exactly the same case. We always love those Tani Idach and Tani Idach and Tani Idach. We always love those because it allows us to really fit the various shitot in. And in fact, what we've got over here is Tani Chada. That was the brighter we had our Masikin Bekelem. It's the Mishnah that it's Masikin Bekelem, a Masikin Beshivri Kelem. Then we have a brighter that says that, no, the same way you can use a Kli to throw into the fireplace on Yantav, you can also use Shivri Kli. And we have a third brayta that says, you can't use anything. You can't use kelim. You can't use shivrei kelim. The only thing that you can actually burn in your fireplace on Yontev is firewood. That was muchan to be firewood for the fireplace. And that's it. And now it's very clear what the answer is. Because remember, we have three fundamental shitot when it comes to the dinim of muktzah and neilat. We have been learning throughout our Masechet Kim'at as a given that when we're talking about Muktzah, we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept called Muktzah. According to Rabbi Shimon, there is no concept called Muktzah. There's only a concept called Huktzah. And they're totally different. As you recall, Muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, means that something because of a status that changed within it, and had nothing to do with the da'at of the individual who set it aside, it's considered to be sort of prima facie. It's muktzah. So it's given in it that it's muktzah. That included the idea, it's muktzah because it's disgusting. So it was called muktzah machmas mius. It's muktzah because it was doing something that was usur before. So that would be the question of whether you can move a lamp and things like that. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of anything like that. Rabbi Shimon holds, there's no such thing as something becoming muktzah. Muktzah is something that huktzah, if you put something aside so that you specifically intend to have this in a special place where nobody should touch it. Yes, that's muktzah. I understand. That would be talking about muktzah machmas chisorin kis, not because something happened to something automatically, and therefore it's muktzah to me. And we said before that whoever holds the concept of muktzah, that is to say Rabbi Yehuda, holds the concept of nolad. But if you don't hold the concept of muktzah, then you can't hold nolad either, because nolad is also something that is coming from out of nowhere. It's not something that I decided is different. This, of course, is referencing kelim. It's not referencing things that are baklam, not kelim, and they're not extensions of your normal usage. Obviously, you can't pick up a rock, according to anybody. I mean, that's not a kli. But this whole discussion that we've had, kli shemalach tala heter, and kli shemalach tala yisr, and the development of yisr, and so on and so forth, has left nothing of the original gezerah, according to Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, it's very clear. The braitot are simply organized, the Mishnah and the first braitot, is not a problem. Because one is going according to Rebuda, and therefore we have to worry about if it was broken on Shabbos, then it was Nailad, and Rebuda holds it Nailad because he holds a Muktzah. One is going according to Rabbi Shimon. What's Nailad? So therefore it doesn't make any difference whether it's Kalim or Shivrei Kalim. And then we have our third major Shita that we've just started getting into a little bit in this parak, and that is the Shita of Rabbi Nechemiah. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, we never really loosened the gezeiros of the original Nechemiah. And the dinim of Muktzah are still very, very much in force. The only thing that we changed was that if something is meant for a particular purpose, and you're going to use it for that particular purpose, and that particular purpose was completely heter, then you can use it. But you can't even use something that is completely mutter to do something that's completely mutter if that is not what it was initially designed for to do, or that was how you had been miyachided to do. So we have three shitas. These three shitas explain the three brises. The last brisa that says you can't use any type of kli in a fireplace. Well, of course not. It wasn't designed to be thrown into a fireplace. The only thing that's designed to be thrown into a fireplace is firewood. And therefore, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, that would be the only thing you could use for your fireplace on Yontav. Omrev Nachman, Hani Livni, the Shtayer Mibinyani, Shore Latutulino, the Chazu Lemizga Alayu. You've got leftover bricks. You were building a building, the building project is completed, and now they are just lying around in the yard, having been left over. Those things are okay because since they're no longer miyuchat for binyan, the thing that they're most usable for is to sit on. You know, so you want to sit down on Shabbos. Let me just get the light out of my eyes here. You want to sit on them on Shabbos, go right ahead. Put them in the right place, move them about, do whatever you want. But if shaginu, if after the building project was completed, you set them up in a very organized pile, so then obviously you have in mind to use them for another building project. So then you're mikatsa them, and then you specifically made them muktzah. That would be muktzah according to everybody. Omer Nachman Omer Shmuel. There's another question over here. How about like this, a little piece of broken pottery? All right, so it's in the chotzer. Says Shmuel, you can move it in the chutzner because there's always something you can use it for, to cover with or whatever. But if you're in a karmelite, and in a karmelite, of course, you're allowed to be metaltal things as far as chutzah is concerned within arba amos. This you can't. It becomes mukta because what are you going to find in a karmelite to do with a little piece of broken cheres? Rav Nachman himself, however, says, no, what's the difference? Even in a Carmelite, you'll sometimes find something. I agree that if it's in a Rishus HaRabim, where also there's no problem within a circle of Arba Amos, but there's another problem, not of Hotzah, but then it becomes Muktzah, because you're not going to find anything to use it for. Rava Amar, what's the difference? Once a Kli, always a Kli. Now, this is Rava Lishitato. There was once a story where Rava on Shabbos was walking through the cardo of Mechuza, and he stepped into some mud, and his shoes got covered with mud. So he had a butler that would always walk around, whatever, Bocher was being Meshamishim. So this guy went, and he grabs a piece of broken pottery, and he's scraping the mud off of Rava's shoes. So all of the guys from the yeshiva that were there, they said, hey, don't do that. So Rava said, you know, these jerks, it's not bad enough that they never learned anything and they don't know what the halacha is. It's not enough, lo messiah, de lo gamiri migmar, de lo gamiri, but migmar nami megamri. Not only don't they know anything, they're running around teaching other people all the things that they don't know. All of a sudden, he's not allowed to pick up the piece of chaspa. Ridiculous. Because the entire thing is, and this is, of course, what we've been discussing. Let's say I would be in my chotzer. Wasn't it clear that it was Roy as a kli? What was it a kli for? It was a kli to cover something in the chotzer, whatever. Make sure no mosquitoes get into it. Fine, so then right now, is it not usable by me for cleaning off my shoes? Yes. What, it loses its shame kli because it's moved into a different place? That's crazy. If something is a kli somewhere, then it's a kli everywhere. And this is Rav Shita over here as well. So, Achinami Chazi Liditi, Omer Rav Yonah Omer Shmuel. In a case where you have a Magufa Sachovis, a Magufa Sachovis is sort of a temporary kind of thing. Because remember what they would do when they had to open a barrel of wine is before they took a piece of cheres and they would seal it around with a glue or with teat usually. Then when they needed to open the wine, either they would slice it off or they would smash it and so on. It wasn't really meant to be a kli on its own, but if it has the chavis is still there, you have the magufas, and obviously doesn't lose its shame clean. Now, what happens if the chavis itself breaks? Now you have a magufa of a chavis that was nitkatata. So the din over there is you can move the magufat achavit and you can move the little pieces of the barrel that are left on Shabbos, but be careful not to smooth down any of the corners. Lo yispot mimena shever lechasot bataklim. Maybe you've got a sharp piece and you want to just break off the edge so it'd be a little bit smoother, or to use that for making your bed even. You can't do that, because then it would be makabe patish, because then you'd be making a new kli. Fine, but you can use it as it is. However, if you throw it in the garbage, finito. It's no longer a kli, because then you were mikatseyed, you're megala da'atcha, that it's a piece of garbage. Maski flor of papa. I don't. What do you mean? You've been megala das by throwing something in the garbage. If this is a perfectly usable kli, you're telling me that if somebody would take his shirt and he would throw it into the garbage, so now his shirt is usur for somebody to move on Shabbos. What kind of craziness is that? So me'ata zarek le'glime achinami da'usur. That's not the point. Ella amr of papa. The issue is like this: that im zarkami ba'od yom la'ashpa. Since this is something that is not really a valuable kli, and it's just a piece of broken things. Okay, fine. So if you threw it into the garbage before Shabbos, then you are makatzet. But if it was there on Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos, you can't change its status now by throwing it in. It was defined as a kli for Shabbos, in which case it's the equivalent to throwing your shirt in. Okay, so then obviously I'm laughing at that psak. All you could have said was, if it was me, Erev Shabbos, you threw it out. Fine, that's true. Omar bar Hamduri, Omar Shmuel. Krumiot shel machatzelet mutar letatalam b'Shabbat. The way the Rambam brings this halacha, it's a little bit clearer than the simple meaning of Gemara, the way that Rashi is masber it. And Rashi is masber like this, that when you have a machatzelet that has gotten old, so oftentimes pieces fall out of it, you know, long reeds. So a couple of reeds fall out from the side, you know, and you're allowed to use them. The Rambam just has it as very simple, a machatzelet that got all worn out and really doesn't do very much. You can see like the holes through it and everything. You've all seen this in the mats that people put in front of their doors and forget to ever change, and they're just ridiculous after a while, right? But okay, you stop noticing it, so you realize one day, oh my God, that's not a mat, that's a piece of garbage in front of my door. Okay, so that's how the Rambam learns that it's talking about. But in any event, you'd be allowed to carry this around on Shabbos. I'll tell you why, my time. Omar Rava, Bar Hamduri himself, who said this halach, explained it to me. And he said, look, one of the main things that you can use a mat for is what? You can use it to cover over a place that has there's either dirt on the floor, mud on the floor, to keep the dust from rising from the floor. So you're telling me this is not roi for that? It's still roi for something like that. You can use it to cover, if a child did his thing on the floor, you could cover it with a piece of this and that. It's still doing me'ein melaktan, and therefore it's not a problem. Omer Rabbi Zera Omer Rav. Now, by the way, as Tosis points out, he didn't really need to say that. Because remember that Rav Nachman basically said before, which he was going to, it doesn't matter because you can use it for anything. You don't have to say it was me'ein melacha rishayna, right? But he's just saying it's even roi l'me'ein melacha rishayna. Fine. Omer Rabbi Zera Omer Rav, Shiyare Puruz Miot Osir L'Tatulan B'Shabbat. When it comes to leftover pieces of your talis that have torn, so then that's a problem. Because you're not going to be able to use, you wouldn't use a talis to do something that is not mechubad, right? So the reason over there is because Omar Abaya, what we're talking about over here, is that they're less than Sholosh al Sholosh. Oh my gosh, that sounds familiar. Oh yes, yes, yes. It was less than Sholosh al Sholosh. We just finished the whole perek that's called Sholosh al Sholosh. So they were Matloni or Sheinbam Sholosh al Sholosh, and therefore they're not usable. Lola Aniyim, Velola Ashirim. And therefore there's nothing that else that you would be doing with them. Tana Rabbana. Shivrei tanur yashan. Harein kekola kelim anitalim. These are like anything else that you're allowed to carry. This word doesn't mean necessarily chotzra, as Tosis points out, because according to Rav Nachman and Rava, it could be a carmelite, it could be a Rishon Rabim also. Again, we're just saying this. Even if you want to say you're only allowed to move things in the chotzra, fine, so it should be in the chotzra, but of course it can be moved anywhere. So even though there are broken pieces of an oven, so says Rabbi Meir. Says Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, just get ready to remember just about all of the various prokim and kalim today, because this sugya of Tanur Yashan is going to bring up an awful lot of those sugyas, as you can well imagine. So when we say a Tanur Yashan, what do we mean by a Tanur Yashan? Well, all of our kalim warriors will remember that a difference between a Tanur Chadash and a Tanur Yashan is, very simply, has it ever been fully heated from the inside? Once it's been fully heated, then it's strong and it's considered to be a kli. It's not yet considered to be a kli before that first usage that tempers it for further high temperature use. That's the difference. It doesn't mean literally old. It just means completed, essentially. So Rabbi Meir says that even if it broke, so fine, you can use all of those pieces. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't. And we're going to be talking about what this machlokas is about. So Heyadur Yosi B'Shumil B'Yezer Ben Yaakov, Ashivrei Tanur Yashan, that you can carry them on Shabbos. And another interesting thing is that the cover of a tanur does not require a handle. Now remember that the tanur was open on top to a small opening through which you would put the pitot along the side of the tanur. And then in order to keep the heat strongly within the tanur, they would generally put something on top of the tanur. That cover is considered to be a kli, even though it doesn't have a handle to move around with easily, it doesn't matter. Okay, now let's get back to the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Can you or can you not move the broken pieces of the tanur? So what would they be arguing about? Well, Abaye says, well, it's same machlokas we just had on the other daf. It's talking about where these broken pieces can be used for something or another, maybe to cover up a bottle or something, right? So then they're osim melacha, but they're not osim in melachtan. I mean, the original melacha was to be able to bake with. I mean, you can't bake with a broken tanur. So then this would be Rabbi Yehuda l'taimi. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that that's considered to be neilad and you can't move it. And Rabbi Meir says, no, that's considered to be muchan as long as it does something and it can be moved. So it just works out. It's just a continuation of the Mishnah. Says, Rava, what are you oversimplifying for? If that were the case, then why in the heck would they mention a tanur? Can you tell me? I mean, just say, shivrei kalim. This is a normal machlok. It's about any shivrei kalim. If the issue is whether it's neilad, why are we talking about a tanur? Obviously, this is meant to be adding information. What do you think that information might be? Ela amar Rava, I'll tell you, man. We're talking about a very special case based on the beautiful Mishnah in Kalim that spoke about taking a tanur and doing something very unusual with it. You have a tanur, you have not connected it yet to the ground, which is the last thing that you do. Remember, you take tit and you make a thick connection at the bottom so that the air doesn't, the heat won't escape through any kind of air leaks. Fine. Now, what you did over here was, remember, in the Mishnah, you had a pit in the ground that was there from before. Or you had the cistern that was built up around the edges. Okay, you take the tanur as it is, you put it over the pit. Now, it doesn't fit exactly, so you put in a little stone on the side to make sure that it won't fall into the bottom. And that way you've got the tanur sitting on top of a hole, basically. Now, the only place where you're going to be able to make a fire, unless you build up some kind of artificial bottom from the bottom of the hole, is at the bottom of the hole. So then the Mishnah said like this. If you take a tanur and you put it over a piabor or a piadut, if you put in a little stone along the side and that keeps it even so it doesn't fall in, it creates a little bit of pressure. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, like, you basically jammed it into place with a stone. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, look, the thing that will be the determining factor is if you heat the bottom of the hole, will the tanur actually be heated sufficiently on top that it gets to its full temperature? If so, then it's tamei, like any tanur that's connected to the earth. And if not, it's tar, because it's not yet usable as a real tanur. You're going to have to do something to make an artificial fire higher. The way that it is right now is not a tanur. Who cares? What do I care if I have to put the fire somewhere else and so on? The important thing is it a usable tanur? So you're saying it's usable, but it's not really connected to the ground because I can't use it the way it is. I mean, basically, it's standing in midair, and now I'm going to need to build something underneath to get the heat into it. Is that called a tanur? Even if it's not connected to the ground? Now, remember, Rabbi said that one of the biggest issues that we had back in Kalim was understanding the remarkable fact that a tanur v'kirayim are almost mirror images of the normal din of Kli Cheres. Normally, a keli, as a matter of fact, a keli of any kind that is mechuber lekarka is considered to be tahor by definition, can't be mekabel tuma. Masha enke, when it comes to a tanur, the norm of the tanur is that it only works if it's mechuber lekarka. Now, it turns out that the question in the Mishnah over here that we're talking about, the machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda, is whether the din of the tanur being connected to the ground is even if it's connected to the ground, or only if it's fully connected to the ground. So it may be literally the mirror image. And that's what we're arguing in. But Micah Miflagay, it's a pusik, actually, because obviously we need to have an indication in the Torah that this is the case, because otherwise it's a violation of our norms. So since the Torah says, Tanur v'kirayim yutatz, which is talking about the way that a kli cheres can become tahar. So it doesn't say yishaver, like it says kli cheres yishaver on a normal kli cheres. It says if it's talking about a tanur, then you have to yutatz it. Now, yutatz it means you got to demolish it. Where do we find that lashon? Well, by tzaras habatim, right? So the bayit should be yutatz. That means the word yutatz is used for breaking something that is a building. In other words, it's connected to the ground. And since the Torah specifies yutatz, Reb Yehuda says that tanur v'kirayim yutatz, and then and only then are tmeim heim v'tmeim yulachem. So if it's mechusar nititzav, it's connected to the ground, and in order to be metairet, you'd have to break it, literally demolish it from the ground, then and only then tmeim heim. But if it's not mechusar nititzav, because it isn't really connected to the ground, like this crazy case, says Reb Yehuda, where you just jam it into place and it doesn't even contain the heat in it, that's not called connected to the ground. And therefore, it's not a tanur, because the pasuk is saying only connected is tanur. Whereas Rabbanan say, but note that the pasuk continues on to say, for no reason that we could see on the surface, tmeihim utmeihim yulachem. Well, obviously, if they're tmeihim, then tmeihim yulachem. What do those words add? Say the Rabbanan, that's exactly what it's coming to add. Tmeihim yulachem anyway, even if it's not well connected to the ground, doesn't matter. I don't mean to say that if they're not connected to the ground, they're not tanurim. I mean to say if they are connected to the ground, so then smash them. If they're not connected to the ground, so then you break them. Rabbanan nami, wait a minute, but it does say smash. I mean, what was the need of that? That's coming to tell me the opposite. That's coming to tell me that even though they're connected to the ground completely, they're still tame. And that's a tremendous chiddush. Because sakatai techamina, kiven dechabri ba'ara kagufa de'ara damit. You see how wonderful this is? We finally get to the deeper understanding that we were just talking about. The Mishnah and Kalim never brought all of these things. We have to talk it out in Mibachutz. Here is the sugya in Shabbos being masbir, the whole inyan of the machlokas in Kalim. So I might have thought that if something was mechuber to the ground, then it's not shaykh to be tameid at all, which is normally the case because the ground isn't mekabel tuma. Therefore, the Torah tells us that even though you tats, so that it would require your smashing a building, so to speak, it's still going to be tameid. Wow, that's amazing. So what does Reb Yehuda do with the extra words? Tmeim yulachem. Reb Yehuda says, that's coming to tell me what Reb Yonah Mashmuel says. Don't Reb Yonah Mashmuel. Machloket behesek rishon. You need to understand, this entire argument about what constitutes a tanur is not about what constitutes a tanur after a tanur has already been formed properly by fully heating it on the ground. If, and that's the only issue, whether or not it's considered to be a kli that it needed to be heated the first time when it was connected to the ground. Afterwards, I agree, tmeim yulachem, after it became tamehu, it retains its din of a tanur, and now you could pick it up, and where would you want to bake bread? Obviously, hang the tanur around your camel's neck, okay? And bake the bread around the camel's neck. It's still a tanur. That's what it's coming to tell me. Omar Ula, by the way, when the Rabbanan are arguing about the Hesek Rishon, so then that means to the Rabbanan, don't think that the idea over here is, well, it's sort of connected to the ground because you jammed it in with stone. The Rabbanan would hold that even the Hesek Rishon could be betolei betzavar hagamal. As long as you get it heated, that's all I care about. So that's what Rava is saying. This machlokas that we have over there in Kelim, Binogea the Dinam of Muktzah, is exactly the issue over here in our Brice. So the Brice is talking about an oven that had been heated up off of the ground because it wasn't properly on the ground. And Rabbi Yehuda, that's the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't consider that to be a kli bichlal. So according to him, then the pieces are not a kli. Rabbi Meir, who holds the Rabbanan, basically over there, and they say, well, what's the difference? If I heated it around the neck of my camel, so according to him, it's not muktzah. So then the broken pieces are also not muktzah. Maskiflor Ravashi, what kind of explanation is that? I mean, it's very, very clever. But then why argue about the broken pieces of the Tanner if you could have argued about the Tanner itself? All you needed to say was, I mean, obviously, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanner Gufa is not considered to be a kli, so kosher came, the broken pieces are not considered to be a kli. Shvar of me, boy. So what are we talking about? That can't be the explanation. Please, let's go back to what we were saying before, okay, says Rabashi. The point is over here, the machlokas is whether it's osin me'ein malacha or osin me'ein malachta. Now, you said, oh, so then why would we be arguing about a tanur? We could make this a general machlokas because you're asking, what's the additional information? I'll tell you what the additional information is. We need to analyze very clearly what does me'ein malachta rishona mean. Let us imagine a case where a broken shard of this tanur is large enough for me to put on the ground, heat it with some coals underneath it, and now bake a bread, which is called maaseh tapka, where I take tiles or roof tiles, and I heat them from underneath or heat them in the sun, and then I put bread on top of it, and it heats. So that's the question over here. Rabbi Meir is not saying I needed to be doing the thing it was doing before, because according to Rabbi Meir, I don't care. Even if you use it as the cover of a bucket, it's osamein malacha, that's fine. But this is Rabbi Meir insisting to Rabbi Yehuda, for God's sake, even if you want to be so stubborn and claim that it has to be doing the ein malacha rishon, fine. You're telling me that if I can use a piece of a tanur to bake on it, isn't that similar enough to the original thing that the tanur used to do to bake in it? I mean, so you're baking. It's still a tanur for baking. According to you, lididi, I don't care what it would be doing, but lididak, at least be moda in this case that is considered to be me'ein malachto, because it's doing what it used to be doing, says Rabbi Yehuda. It is not doing what it used to be doing. Don't give me that. It used to be something that baked on the inside of the tanur. Now you're talking about it's considered to be a sir pella. Thank you very much. Over here it's a segel mibachutz. I don't think that's the same thing. Not to mention the fact that the tanur originally used to use it when it was standing up. Over here it's lying on its side. And it doesn't even look familiar. Eid Rabbi Yosef Bishra Mil B'Yezer Ben Yaakov Al Shivrei Tanur Yashan Shenitelim B'Shabbat Val Kisui She'eino Tzarech Beit Yad. As we said before, and that he's passing, that's the halacha. Amar Ravina, indeed. They did not use covers that had handles on top of the tanur. They would simply move it off of the pot cover. And we use it today, we move it around. And it doesn't have a Beit Achiza. Come on, it's going on leap to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's beautiful psak over here. Now, the problem is, Doc, that Richie apparently found a minion in Helsinki, which he loves to do for Shivas Batamas. And that's quite a trick in a regular year. Kosher came in this year. No, Richie's here. Sorry, Doc. I didn't see you, Rich.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Go for it, Sir Richard, then. Ha'evin Shabikiruya. Now, no Gemara is complete without a discussion of pumpkins, right? Every good day has got to have some pumpkin in it. So, in this case, what would be a nice thing to use a pumpkin for? So, if you're not going to be cooking it, and now you've got a dried-out pumpkin, and it's not Halloween, what would you use a pumpkin for? Well, obviously, you would use it to draw water out of a well. There's only one problem. Pumpkins float. So when you try to get the water, they won't go into the water to get it up for you. So what do? Well, you put a stone into the pumpkin. Okay, so now you've got an even that's inside of a pumpkin skin. So it's an even shibikiruya. So now the question is like this. If this thing is usable and the stone won't fall out, which means that you actually connected the stone permanently to the, otherwise the pumpkin will bend over and the stone will just fall into the water. So if you can actually use it, then fine. Then it's all one kli and it's perfectly okay to be mamala with it on Shabbos. But if not, you cannot be memala with it at all, because now it's just the opposite. Because now the even is mukta, and since it was put into the pumpkin, now the pumpkin becomes a basista davar aser, so the whole thing would be aser. Ha-even should be kuruya, im memalin ba ve'inan ofelet memalin ba. Fine. Okay, so now, what about the same situation of a zmorah? A zmorah she kashura betafiach mimalin ba b'shabbat. Let's say that you've got a vine. Now, let's not think right now about whether I've got a worry of the vine is connected. Maybe I'll pull it off or whatever. We'll talk about that later. But we've got this vine, and it's got even like a place in it that you could, it's got like a crook in the vine. You'd be able to put a bucket or something or a cup onto it. You can't use it unless it's actually tied. Then you can be mamalim baba shabbat. So if you tie a cup to it, then you can use it. The same thing is true of a pkakachalon. So you have a shutter that fits over your window, and it's hanging on a string so that it's easy to pull up and close the window with. Says Rebbe Eliezer, if it's hanging, it's attached and also hanging, meaning it's not hitting the ground. It's hanging in the air. So then you can use it as a shutter on Shabbos. But if it's not like that, and it's either not connected or it's not connected enough to be hanging, so then ain pokekin bo. Whereas the Chachamim say either way poking. Now, I'm not sure what either way means. Either way, does either way mean even if it's not connected? Or does either way mean if it's connected but it does reach the ground and it's not hanging in midair? Again, all of that the Gemara is going to discuss. Now, it's not a hata. We know that we have later on in the Masechet that if you have a stone that you put on top of a chavis, remember we discussed this earlier, that you're able to move it. This, we had our first discussion of Tiltum and Atzad. You can bend over the barrel and the even will fall off by itself, right? Now, we had over there the additional piece, which we spoke out earlier as well, we're going to see later, that if this barrel was Beina Chaviyot, so now you don't want to bend it over, because now if the stone rolls off, it'll hit another barrel and possibly crack it. So then what you're allowed to do is, it says over there, you can lift it together with the stone that's on it, and then in the new place where there are no other barrels you have to worry about, then you tilt it on its side and it falls out. So Amar Rab, Amar Rabami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking over here only if you forgot to take the stone off before Shabbos. So then it wouldn't be a basisa davar aser because there was no intention of leaving it there. But if you put it there on purpose, then it becomes a basisa davar aser, and then you're not allowed to pick it up and move it to another place because it's a basis. The whole barrel is aser. Rav Yosef, Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, says exactly the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say it would be aser as a basis. He said, on the contrary, where do you have to worry about it and they have to let it slide off? That's dafka if you had forgotten it. But if you put it there on purpose, you don't have to let it slide off. Just pick up the stone and move it away. Why? Because if you put it there on purpose, you made it into the covering of the chavis. So then now it's a perfectly kosher chavis. B'meiniach nasa kisui lehachavit. Omar Rabba, I want you to know that the way that I understood Rabbi Yochanan, which was that it becomes a basis to davar aser, I initially thought I had a problem from our Mishnah that talks about pumpkins, because this seems like the same case. Over here it says if you have a pumpkin with a stone in it, and here we're talking about if you have a barrel with a stone on it, and it says you can move it, right? But over here it says in the Mishnah, so then you see that it's not Muktzah. So how come over here it is Muktzah? But obviously it's different, Velogi. Because in our Mishnah's case, it's talking about that it had to be glued onto the pumpkin or screwed onto the pumpkin. So then it becomes part of the actual kli. But in our case, we just stick it there, then it's considered to be a basis of davar aser. So it wasn't a problem to me in the end. And Rav Yosef says, the way that I had explained Rav Yochanan, I thought was a problem from the Seifa of the Mishnah. Because the Seifa of the Mishnah says that if the stone is in the pumpkin, then you can't use it because it's a basis, imlav ein memal inba. So that struck me. Now, wait a minute. So how come over here I'm saying that Rav Yochanan said if you just put the stone down on the barrel, that would be enough to make it a cover? How come it's not enough to make it a proper pumpkin stone machine? And then I realized, well, of course, it's not dissimilar at all, because as of given lo'at kibetulei batla, the normal way of utilizing a pumpkin for drawing water is that you know that you have to attach the stone to it very strongly. So over there, by not doing so basically you were mevatel the shame kli from it. Mashenken over here, it's perfectly normal to put a heavy stone on top of a barrel, and that's its cover. And what is the machlokas over here in how to understand Rabbi Yochanan? The machlokas is that actually Rabbi B'Shem Rav Ami, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan, holds that you need to do a maisa that is chosh. If you can just put a stone down and say that makes it a cover, you need to do something to it. Umar Savar Lobi Inan Masa. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says, no, once you put it down, that makes it into the cover. And we know that this is a machlokas. Rav Ami and Rav Asi actually report differently a story about Rabbi Yochanan that was about Rebbe. Dechi aser avdimi amar Rebbe Chanina. V'armela amar Rebbe Zera amar Rebbe Chanina. That what happened once is that Rebbe came to a certain place and he sees it's Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, and he's come with a lot of Talmidim and they're supposed to have a shir tomorrow, and he sees that there's this nidbak shel avanim, that it was part of a normal nidbak, is also because it was muchan for binyan. So he said to the Talmidim, listen, guys, go out there and think about those stones so that we should be able to sit on them tomorrow. And Rebbe didn't need anything that they needed to do. He just said, think about it. Now, Rebbe Yochanan said, no, it's not true. He never said, just think about it. He told them they have to do something. Now, the question is, all right, what did he tell them they had to do? So there's where we get into Machlokas Rav Ami and Rav Asi in understanding Rabbi Yochanan about what Rebbe was Mechayev. So Rav Ami said over there, which is consistent with what he said over here, he said, Se'uvalamdum, Omar Lehem, put them in the right place so that way we won't have to move them on Shabbos because we're not going to be allowed to move them on Shabbos. Whereas Rav Asi says, he told them, take a cloth and wipe them so that you don't get your suits dirty. And once you wipe them, then you'd be making them, and then you'd be allowed to move them on Shabbos. So in other words, Rav Asi holds some small thing that you do is enough to allow you to move it. Whereas Rav Ami said, no, there was nothing they could do that would allow them to move it. I mean, they would have actually have to change the stones or something. So therefore, they had to set it up before. By the way, there's a very important insight into the word limud from this Gemara. Because when you are limud a stone, it does not mean you're teaching it to sit in the right place so that now it's a trained stone. No, that's not what it means. It means structure it. Having things in their proper position is how you learn things. And that's why we talk about, as Rashi says, you make limudim for a bor. You can cover it with things that are put into their proper place. Understanding things requires structure. A mass of chaotic halachas is not learning. A mesechet that is disorganized is not limud. Fine, it's a beautiful insight. Anyway,
you need limudin for a boor, just like you need limudin for a boor.
Yes, very good. Itma, Rabbi Yosi ben Shaul Omer, Savar shel korot havi. First of all, you got it wrong, okay? It wasn't talking about bricks or avanim. It was talking about a pile of roof beams that were being used. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Sholomer, it was actually a gashosh shel svinah havi. This story was reported by Mark Twain, and it was the sounding pole of one of those Mississippi ferries, and that was what they needed to use on Shabbos. So the man d'arma gashosh. Now, the big chiddush of the gashosh is that has to be, since it's giving you an exact readout of Mark Twain, so therefore you have to be very careful. It's not damaged, it's not bent, and so on, or your reading won't be correct. So it's possible that would be Muktzimachov's historic kiss. So because of that, the Mandiyom Gashosh, Koshikena Savar, I mean, is not as sensitive. But if you're only willing to say it was a pile of roof beams, then he would never have allowed you to use a Gashosh. A Gashosh, somebody would be makpid on, and therefore it would be usur. And that would be the difference. And the last case we had in the Mishnah next to the last case is Mora, which is Kishura, and it's saying Beferish only if it's tied, not if it's not tied. But then that would mean that we're not going like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because in the Braita it says that if you had a chariot shel dekel, that's the branches, the hardened branches from a palm, and you want to use it for firewood, godron la etzim, and then you change your mind on Shabbos, you decided that you want to sit on it. So the Tanakhama says, yeah, you have to tie them in order for them not to be muktza. But Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, just deciding that you want to use them is enough. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Amra, ain't tzarech likshor. So apparently the Mishnah over here, even though normally we said before that the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel on this, the Mishnah is specifically going, not like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So how does that work? Reb Shesha says, no. Filu tema Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. We're talking about over here where the vine is attached to the ground. So there, even Rabbi Shimon is made that since it's bichlal not considered to be a kli, it's a growing vine. So in order to turn it into a kli, there you have to be kosher. That he would be made to. Wait a minute, you're not allowed to use things that are connected to the ground. I thought we have a blanket gezera about being mishamish b'mechub l'karka. Yeah, but we're talking about over here, it's short, it's within 3 tefachim of the ground. Remember, anything within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered to be batel to the karak, and it's not considered to be an actual mechuber, like a tree. Rav Ashi says, you don't need to do all of this. It works out perfectly well, even if it's not attached to the ground anymore. Even so, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would be made over here that has to be tied to the pitcher. Why is that? Because since it's a thin, tiny vine, Gezerah Shama Yiktom, he's worried about a different issue. Suppose it doesn't fit properly. It's so easy to just break off a piece, you know? So then he won't realize it. He'll break off the piece. And if he breaks off the piece, then it'll be Makeh B'Patish, because now he's actually making the kli. So because of that, he says, listen, make sure that it's B'Churba before Shabbos. It's tied. And that way it's already completed.